This is the Tree of Life Ministries podcast. Our mission is to reach everyone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope this message is inspiring, encouraging, and it challenges you. Wherever you're listening from, we hope that you enjoy and that God will transform your life through today's message.
Thank you for the victory tonight. Whatever you need victory over, just giving thanks for it. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God. Come on and praise Him in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. May we serve a victorious Savior, a risen King. And it's always good to be in the house of God. And when the presence of God is in the house of God, that makes it worth coming to the house of God. Amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a moment. Before we do, I want to share a passage of Scripture with you. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, while you're getting ready, normally I don't do this. Today was a very unique day because I was studying on this, started early, and the more I went into it throughout the day, it was really kind of odd, but the Lord gave me next week's message. And it's a good message from, I guess, the perspective of being a believer and what you feel like that the Lord is speaking to you, especially as a minister. But it's a message that I've never preached before. I've done very little study on. But the Lord today just really gave me some detailed thoughts about next week. And so I want you to be sure and be here next week. I'm going to speak to you next week on the great falling away. And I'm praying because I wonder if a part of this message next week doesn't have to do with something that the church, the believers, are going to go through this year that He's just kind of preparing us for. So just be in prayer about that and be sure and be here next week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 16, he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now look right in the middle of these last and final thoughts that he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he makes this statement. Each one of these are statements, they're commands. They're not just thoughts. He's not just giving you a feeling. He's given a command. He's given something that you do. In other words, it's like, make a list of these. This is what you're to do. This is how you're to be in the church. This is how you're to be as a saint. And he says, verse 19, the verse that I'm going to focus on tonight, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise." Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to quench it. Amen? And so, if y'all want to give the Lord a praise, that's fine. That's right. I just said don't do it, and I did it. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil, or some translations say any form of evil. Tonight, I want us to continue to remember Josephine. And I think the last I heard, I think he is taking her to Texas to try one other procedure to hopefully get her nutrient levels up to be able to help her be able to get the treatment that she needs. So we want to remember her in prayer. We want to remember Jenny in prayer. She went back to New York this week. I told you that her and she has people in her house that watch our service every Wednesday. But there was someone in their house that went to be with the Lord. And so she is very upset. And just wanted the church to pray for her and the ones that are in that home that are like a family together. And so if you would just give her a hand, letting her know that we're praying for her and their home. And then tonight, I know that there are several people that are watching that were unable to be here because either they were exposed to someone who were sick or they're sick themselves. And so there is, I guess the wave of this going on, but I want to tell you, I still believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to heal and deliver. And so that's what we're going to continue to pray for. I don't see us ever getting away from anything, but I do believe this. I do believe that there are churches where it does not matter how sick you are, God is going to divinely put His hand on those churches. And people will be able to go there. And years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and He said, there's going to come a day where the healthcare system in America is going to fall apart. And He said, remember how your parents and your grandparents used to talk about how when they couldn't get to the doctors, they would bring their family to the church and pray for their families and God would heal their families? He said, that's what's going to happen again. When you can't get to the healthcare system, God has a healthcare system built into the church. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So tonight, we're just going to pray. We appreciate you tuning in, being a part of this service. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your home, your family, your life. If you have any needs, be sure and send those in because we want to pray over those. Tonight, last week, if you remember, I shared with you about prayer and fasting. Amber is still here. She's here this week. She hadn't been here since last Wednesday. She did go home, but she's here tonight. And raise your hand if you want to sign up to be a prayer partner. Just give her your name, number. She'll get you taken care of. And we want to do training. We want to have people that are praying over every service, people that are able to pray for people around the altar. Doesn't mean you have to. You can just sign up to be a prayer partner. But we want to be sure that people are prayed for. And I really want to see that our church family is always covered in prayer by people every day, any time of the day that someone needs prayer. We want to be able to pray for somebody. How does that sound? Amen? Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you have a need tonight, just raise your hand and we're going to pray over that. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, God. And Lord, it just feels so good to be able to stand here, Lord, and know that what you've spoke into my heart, that, Lord, you've given me to share with your people tonight, those that are here in this auditorium, those that are watching. God, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that, Lord, more than anything, the power of your word is going to go forth. And, Lord, it's going to have a life-changing effect. Lord, I just believe that your word has the power to change lives. Nothing that I can do, nothing that I can say. But Lord, I do know this, as you speak through me, I believe that you're going to speak the words that everyone needs to hear. And so, Father, tonight I pray that, Lord, your word is going to go forth in power and authority. It's going to strike every person where it needs to strike us all. And Lord, I just believe that when we leave this place, we'll be able to say, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place. But surely I'm taking the presence of the Lord with me out of this place. So Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're going to do through the power of your word. Lord, you know the needs that I've brought before you, and you see the needs of those that have raised their hands in this auditorium tonight. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, I really believe in the power of your name, Jesus. I believe in the power and the authority of your name. So God, tonight, that's what we do. We call on the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout Jesus in this place. Shout Jesus in this place. Lord, we declare the name of Jesus, the name that is above every single name. So we can call that name out over cancer that is trying to invade Josephine's body. We can call that name over COVID. Christ is greater than COVID. Thank you, Lord. So tonight we declare the healing power of Jesus Christ to rise up in this place and from this place. And we claim in the name of Jesus that, Lord, there are no barriers. There is no wall that can stop. There is nothing that can hinder the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, tonight we thank you that as we call upon you and we call on the power of your name, that, Lord, we know that there is going to be great testimonies to come from it. You're going to place peace in the house of Jenny. And, Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus, God, that, Lord, we believe with all that is within us. Lord, we believe tonight that, God, we're going to hear the miraculous stories of how you've healed, how you've touched, how you've saved, and how you delivered. So God, because we know we're going to hear it, we can go ahead and give you praise for it. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you, we honor you, and we glorify you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Giving praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, say, I'm glad you got to be here tonight. Tonight, I want to talk to you for a moment on catching fire. Catching fire. I always think it's really cool when God is able to work and confirm what He wants me to speak on. And over the last couple weeks, when I was getting things ready and kind of preparing for what the Lord wanted me to share the first part of this year, I knew that the Holy Spirit was really working on me to preach and teach or minister from a passage of Scripture that dealt with the presence of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. So I was putting my thoughts together as the Lord was giving me throughout different days and time that I would spend in prayer and reading the Word. And probably one of the best confirmations that I had was Sunday. And someone had given me a Christmas present. It was a book, and it was by Ken Brumfield. He had given me a book. It was written by Leonard Ravenhill. And if you know anything about Leonard Ravenhill, he is an evangelist that was a great evangelist, and his heart was to speak and help bring about a resurgence or a restoration or a revival across America. This is what he said in the book. He said, by its very nature, fire begets fire. One spark from an anvil can set a city on fire. From one candle, 10,000 others may take a light. Powerful words when you think about someone that their heart was just to see that revival was restored around the world, but specifically in America. Everywhere that he went, everywhere that he taught, his goal, his desire was to help bring about a resurgence of revival in America. David Wilkerson said of him that as he was passing, he knew that he was going to be with the Lord. He was excited to go be with the Lord. But there was a part of him that was deeply discouraged because he never got to see and experience what he felt was the revival that was going to take place in America. I still believe personally that there's going to be a revival that's going to sweep across our nation. I don't think that it's necessarily going to look the way that maybe we would perceive that it's going to look, but I do believe this. I believe that there is going to be a revival, and I believe the Holy Spirit is going to be miraculously poured out. And I believe churches that are hungering for the presence of God and the move of God, that they're the ones that are really going to experience revival within themselves, the community and the cities that they live in. And people are going to come to those places, and they're going to be able to experience and get what they need because that church itself is going to be in revival. So I don't know if you really see it. I don't know if you really believe that, but that's my personal belief. I have Scripture that I base that on, and I go back and I look and I just keep praying every day because I believe that God is going to send a revival and a restoration of revival at places in America. You can give God praise for that. When you think about fire, when you think about the presence of the Holy Spirit, I remember several years ago as a young boy, I've mentioned this probably once before, but I remember as a young boy, part of my responsibility was to keep fire for our wood stove in our basement. And it was my responsibility every day to get fire wood in that evening and to get wood in the morning and to keep the fire going. It was my responsibility. I've often told people that if it doesn't matter what area that you are looking for God to move in, if you are looking for God to move in an area of your life, it takes something on your part to make that work, to make that happen. I've had people that sat in front of me concerning their marriages. I've had people that talk to me about their spiritual lives. And without exception, it always holds true that if you want fire in your marriage, If you want fire in your heart, you want fire in your prayer life, you want fire, there is something that you have to do to make that happen. There is a responsibility that you have. My responsibility was I had to cut the wood, I had to split the wood, I had to bring it in, I had to put it in the stove, and then you had fire. So when you think about it, if you want fire in your life, you're going to have to go out, you're going to have to pray. That's getting the wood in. You're going to have to get in your prayer closet. That's splitting the wood. You're going to have to spend time in the Word of God, time fasting, time in the house of God, time in worship with God. All of those things are what you do to keep fire in your life and in your marriage, in your family, and in your home. If you want to be on fire, you have to go and get the wood. Amen? Come on, give God a praise if you hear me tonight. I can remember, still remember a time in my ministry, and it was years ago when there was a movement across America, and the movement became later known of what was called casual Christianity. At the time, it was called something different. It was called seeker-friendly churches. And so what the setting of that was is that you were to work at preparing messages that was geared toward specific things in life, and you were to form a team of people around you and to get those team of people, and you would sermon plan, you would plan out certain themes, you would plan out certain series, and you would go about all of this structure, and that's what you would do. And as people came in, you were to accommodate their needs based on the culture of the moment and of the time. It seemed like a good idea. It seemed like a good plan. I struggled with it. But nonetheless, as I saw it take place across America, I never will forget the day that I went into my office and I was sitting there and I was working on a message, and I thought to myself, well, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe this is something that really is God is doing, and maybe that's how he's going to spark a revival. That's how he's going to bring people into the kingdom. So maybe I need to start thinking more along those lines. Maybe I need to think as a pastor that maybe we need to become more seeker-friendly, more user-friendly as a church. And so I sat there and I was writing out what I thought was a good casual Christianity, seeker-friendly message. And as I sat there and as I wrote that, I never will forget the Holy Spirit. He came to me, and really what he did was he just screamed in my spirit and he said, Ray, what are you doing? And I remember thinking, I said, I'm sitting here preparing a sermon. I'm thinking to myself, and the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm not, I didn't call you to this. This is not what I've called you to do. I've called you to preach the gospel. I've called you to preach the word. I didn't call you to a seeker-friendly movement. And so right then it was like I knew, I thought to myself, man, I may be totally off. I may be totally wrong, but this is not the path that I'm going down. This is not the path our church is going down. And so I scrapped it all and I said, God, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, that's what I want to be a part of. I went out, I continued to preach. Everybody did their seeker-friendly thing. The movement continued. People formed their groups. People built their churches off of. And now here it is 20-some years later, and most of those churches have fallen by the side. Their attendance has all been gone. The groups are all broken up. It's nothing like what they thought it was going to be. And one of the major leaders of the movement came back and they said, I really need to apologize to the entire church world because I helped lead the seeker-friendly movement, and now I see that it was not a help to the church. And if anything, it was more of a hindrance and a devastation to the structural DNA and spiritual DNA of the church. But I want to tell you, what I have seen is people that continue to preach and teach under the authority and the power of the Word and the movement of the Holy Spirit, those churches continue to grow. Those churches continue to thrive. The Holy Spirit continue to move. And how many of you know that today the Holy Spirit is still moving? He's still working. working. He's still building. He's still ministering. He's still reaching. He's still touching. He's still saving. Can somebody on a Wednesday night just give God a praise that the Holy Spirit is still active despite all the movements to try to quench the Holy Spirit? He is still alive, well, and at work. Hallelujah. Give God a praise in this place. I think about this as I sat there today and I was studying this, and I don't know where it came from. I don't know who gave it to me. I don't know how it came in my possession, but there on my desk in a shelf sat a box of matches. Now, this is a pretty big box of matches. And as I was studying the whole time thinking about fire, I couldn't take my eyes off the box of matches. And so I was sitting there and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Ray, you do realize that that box of matches is like a lot of people that come into the church. And I said, really, Lord? And he said, yeah. And when I talk to you like that, I'll just be honest with you. That's how the Holy Spirit talks to me. That's how he speaks to me. It's like I really have a conversation with him. And so I sat there and I was just thinking in my heart, thinking in my spirit. I said, really, Lord, is it really like that? And he said, yeah, absolutely. He said, if you think about it, he said, there are people that they come into the church and they catch fire. Immediately, they're like this match. They get saved, and what are they on? They're on fire. How many of you have seen people that come into the house of God and they're on fire for God? How many of you remember when you got saved and you were on fire for God? And I mean, you were just burning and you were burning. There were a few days that you're like this match that you flickered, but you stood in there, you hung in there, and you're here tonight because you stayed on fire. But there are some people that they come, they get on fire, and exactly what happened to this match is what happens to their life. They get on fire, and then all of a sudden, it's like you don't see them. You don't know where they went. You don't know what happened to them. You wonder what happened to them spiritually. You wonder what happened to them physically. You know they aren't in the house of God, but you also know that God touched them. It was very evident that the presence of God got a hold of their life. It was very evident that when you prayed for them or you saw God move in their life, that it was very evident how the Spirit of God really touched and changed their life. But nonetheless, there are some people that's what happens to them. They catch fire. They get excited. And then all of a sudden, it's like when there is no substance added to their life, the fire goes out. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't want the fire of God in your life to go out? That he wants the presence of his Spirit to stay alive and active. And he wants you to be on fire as a believer. He wants you to be hot after God. He wants you to be excited for God. He wants you to be ready for God. Aren't you glad you're still on fire for God? That's why you're here tonight. Nothing was going to keep you out of the house of God. And so you see that some people, he said then, they're also like this match because what happens is they catch fire and they burn for a while. In other words, you see him in church for a while. You seem excited about God. You seem excited about everything that God is doing. They get involved in church. They get excited about church. But how many of you know what burnout is? I said, how many of you know what burnout is? That's what happens to our life sometimes. Because see, what can happen is we can come into church, we can get excited about God, and we can be on fire with God, and then we get involved in the things of God. All of a sudden, it's like, man, I want to be a part of this, and I want to be a part of this, and I want to be a part, and I want to do this, and we think that it's the works that will keep us on fire. And how many of you know it's not works that keeps us on fire? Listen to me. I said, how many of you know that it's not works that keeps us on fire? You know what keeps us on fire? The work of the Holy Spirit. That's what keeps us on fire. I would much rather see one person do one job really well and focus on their spiritual life, consistently growing in God and in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, than have a person season doing 10 different things and then getting burned out after 2 months, and then you never see them again because they are tired, wore out, and burned out. Can I tell you tonight that God does not want his people burned out? He wants them burning up. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. He wants them burning up in the kingdom. You see that some people, they get ignited, and what happens is they all gather around a flame, and it's like they put their fire together and they form their little group and they form their little huddle and they all stay warm together. But then what they do is they say, we like our little fire, we like our little group, we like our little thing, because it makes us feel warm, it makes us feel fuzzy, it makes us feel at home. But then what happens when the fire in your group burns out? What happens when there is no more fire in the little group? What happens if you keep the fire in the little group, but no one else is allowed to get warm by the fire? I just happen to believe God wants us to share the fire. I don't think he wants us to form little cliques. I don't think he wants us to form little groups. I believe he wants us to build a fire that people from the north, the south, the east, and the west can come and warm up into the presence of God. Give God a praise if you believe that tonight. And then you see some people that they're just a little bit different than the people that are like this box of matches. And when you think about it, there are churches that are just like this box of matches, filled with saints, but no lasting effect of fire. That you'll get them together for a while, they'll be excited for a little while, they'll be on fire for a little while, but then when the revival is over and the meetings are finished and the time is up, everyone kind of goes back to the way they were. Things are put back in the box, kept nice and neat. And when we really need God, we'll pull out something, we'll strike it, and hopefully God will ignite it. I just don't believe that God wants this church to be like that. And so what I really feel is, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it and I said, God, what is the alternative then? What about the believer? And he said, well, there is a believer that is different than any other believer. They are the believer that's filled with something different. Come on, somebody give God a good shout of praise here tonight. See, you're able to sit here and you're able to just hold this. And let me tell you why. Because it is not something that burns for a little bit and then it goes out. This thing is filled with something that will keep burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. My goodness, God wants to do something great in our lives and in our church. Come on, give God a shout of praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. I can still remember to this day, there is something about a fire that does something to the spirit, that does something to the heart, that does something to the soul. I can remember this lady that I would go to her house at different times. One of the times I loved going to her house was in the late fall, and her name was Jean, and she would say, I want you to stop by. I have something for you. She could make the best coconut cream pie. And I would be thinking to myself, what is she gonna have when I stop by? And whenever it was cold, you could walk into this small home, and in the middle of the living room was this potbelly stove, and her and her son would be there, and they would say, have a seat. I would sit down, and they would talk. And I wanna tell you, the smell of pinto beans cooking on that stove, cornbread in the oven, and that warm wood stove sent me into a spiritual coma. They were talking, and I'd be like, my eyelids were getting heavy. And they would say, Pastor, are you tired? And I said, I wasn't until I come into your house. Now I'm tired and I'm hungry. Amen. And there is something about the warming effect of an authentic fire. When people talk about fire, one of the reasons why I enjoy wood fire is because there is something about wood heat that it gets inside of you. Are y'all with me here tonight? If you haven't experienced wood heat, you're missing something. I mean, it's not like the kind of heat that you sit in front of a fireplace. We have gas logs. Sandy will be cold at different times, but she doesn't feel like getting up out of the chair because she's already got a warm seat. So I'll go and I'll sit in front of the logs. I'll get warm and then run over to the seat and sit behind her, and she'll be like this, because she knows that I've just warmed up, amen? There is something about that heat, but that heat really doesn't stay with you. But when you are throwing wood on the fire, it's something about that when you walk into the home, you can sit into the seat and it's already warm. You climb into the bed, it's already warm. You walk into the house, the whole house just feels warm. How many of you know it's the same way with the fire of God? That it's something about the fire of the presence of the Holy Spirit that when it gets in the house, it does something not only to the whole house, but to the whole being of the person. That's why God wants the fire of His presence in His house. Paul makes this statement in the middle of all these other statements. I thought it was rather unique. Notice what he said, quench not the Spirit. Notice what he said, quench not the Spirit. Translations say, do not put out, or don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't restrain, stifle, or smother the Holy Spirit. And of all the things that I thought that Paul could have used, think about this just for a moment. He could have used the analogy of water. He could have said in relation to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is sometimes used as in relation to water. He could have said, whatever you do, don't dam up the Spirit. He could have used that illustration in relation to water. But notice what he says here. He says, don't quench. Do not quench. Don't put out, really the translation is, do not put out the Spirit's, somebody shout fire.
Fire.
I'm about to close. Somebody shout fire.
Fire.
In other words, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Why would he say that to this particular church, to these particular people? You know, if you read and you study anything about the church at Thessalonica, that they struggled in their spiritual relationship at different times. And here he's given a final list through this first letter that he sent, and he's saying, here's part of your struggle, here's part of what you're going through, and the only way that you're going to solve the problem is if I begin to give you an exhaustive list of what you need to be sure that you're taking care of. And right in the middle of that list, he says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit's fire. How many of you know that there will always be fire quenchers in the kingdom of God? There will always be people that will show up in your life when you're on fire for God and you're excited about God. and you're worshiping God and you're seeing God and you're believing God, you'll be the one that says, man, what's going on in your life? Oh, I'm just believing God for him to come through and in this miracle, and I'm beginning to see a real breakthrough. The fire quencher will always come along and say, that's probably not gonna happen. You realize how crazy and radical it is to believe for that kind of miracle. Don't let them put out the fire of God inside of your life. Don't let them quench the presence of the Holy Spirit that is rising up inside of you to believe God for the miracle. There will always be fire quenchers that come into the church. The fire quenchers are the ones that will show up. And when people get excited about God, when people begin to clap and praise God, and they begin to worship God, they begin to dance before the Lord, they begin to shout, knowing what God had done for their life, the fire quenchers will sit back with their arms folded and say, I just don't believe you have to be like that in order to come to the house of God and worship God. Well, most of the fire quenchers that I've ever met were never in need of a dramatic miracle for their life yet. Most of the fire quenchers that I ever knew never had a child that was really sick and on their deathbed, never had a marriage yet that was really falling apart, never had finances that were about to fall apart. But trust me, when you get to the place where you need a miracle, you will pray for the fire of God to fall every single time. Hallelujah. There are always going to be fire quenchers. And what God is looking for are the fire catchers. I said, what God is looking for are the fire catchers. Are there any fire catchers here tonight? I said, are there any fire catchers here tonight? I said, are there any fire catchers here tonight? The fire catchers are the one that are just like on the day of Pentecost, that they gathered around. And as they gathered around, Peter made the statement. He said, oh, you need to repent and be baptized. And he said, every single one of you, he said, when you repent and you're baptized, he said, today you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. I don't know about you, but when I come to the house of God, I said, when I come to the house of God, see, here's where I don't really want to rush through it, but if you'll just give me a couple more minutes, here's where it's really important that we understand why we cannot quench the Holy Spirit. And I'm about to close with this, but I want to leave you with this. Why is it so important that Paul would put that in the middle of that scripture? Why is it so important that he would implore the church a command that said, do not suppress, do not stifle, do not hinder any kind of work concerning the Holy Spirit? And I sat there and I said, Lord, what are you really saying? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Ray, it's because no one really understands the cost of Pentecost. I said, what do you mean? He said, what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, it's important that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Fire Baptizer, he's not going to come. In context of that scripture, What was Jesus talking about? Why would he make the statement, it's important that I go away? Because he was speaking of his death. When Paul says, do not quench the Spirit, he's saying it because you don't understand the price that was paid for people to be able to experience the presence of the living God. Because when Christ died, it not only meant that now the believer can go into the presence of the Holy of Holies, but now it means that the presence of the Holy of Holies can come into the life of the believer. See, now not only can we approach the throne of God with boldness, but now heaven comes down to earth to be with us. My goodness, somebody give God a praise in this place. And when the church, when we really start to understand what it cost for us to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, it cost the life of the Savior. It cost him his sacrificial life that would tear the curtain and open the way for the presence of God to fill his church. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about his people. Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just sense a real awe of your presence. Could it be that we, Tree of Life, is the anvil that God is going to strike to be the fire in this city? Could it be that Tree of Life is going to be the candle in which thousands will come to catch fire? Could it be, or will it be? Hallelujah, Father. I said, could it be, or will it be? Questions we both can answer, but the answer is left up to us. I don't want to be a could it be church. I want to be in an is church. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, here tonight is your people. And we did not come just to be filled with fire. We came to catch fire, to take fire, to release fire, and to bring fire back. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'll go back and I can tell you what really changed my mind. Here, just for a moment, let me have your attention. I remember the words of Charles Spurgeon when I was sitting there that day writing out my casual Christianity sermon. And after the Holy Spirit screamed in my heart, the words of Spurgeon came back to me. And it was this: either put fire in the sermon or throw the sermon in the fire. And that's all I've lived by ever since. That every time I stand in the pulpit, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, if it's a spark, bring a spark. If it's a fire, bring a fire. But when I preach, I want it to be with fire. But can I tell you something else? There not only needs to be fire in the pulpit, there needs to be some heat in the seats. I said, there needs to be some heat in the seats. So that means if you want fire in the pulpit, bring your heat to your seat. Bring your prayer with you. Bring your wood with you. Bring your fire with you. And when you come into the house of God, we can't help but set this place on fire every single time. Hallelujah. Rise up and give God a shout of praise in this place right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what song they're going to sing, what song we're going to close with. But this is all that I want us to do right now. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, your life is like dead, soaked wood. Nothing will be on fire or passionate about your life until you accept Christ. Nothing will light you. You're a soaked up log that is ripe for nothing but decay. But if you get Christ, He will soak up everything in your life with His fire. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior and you need to know Him tonight, I want you to raise your hand because we want to pray for you for Christ to come into your life and into your heart. Anyone here tonight? Quickly. Thank you, Lord. This is what we're going to do as closing. You're welcome to stay at your seat. You're welcome to praise God where you are. Last Wednesday night, as we closed, we had prayer. And the Holy Spirit just was moving at the close of this service. I have no doubt that if the saints of God just want to come and worship around this altar, let's begin tonight by praying for fire on the altar. Can we do that? That's right. Can we do that tonight? So they're going to begin to worship. And this altar is open. If you want to come and pray as a believer for the fire and the presence of God, we're going to begin to pray for fire, His presence on this altar tonight.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We pray you are blessed by God's word. For more information on Tree of Life Ministries, you can visit tolm.net or you can follow us on social media at TOLM Lynchburg. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your family and friends. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.